those who don't know me, my name is Abrian. I am a child member of the Lighthouse Church. And today I am going to pray for tithes and offerings. Now can we just close our eyes and put our hands together? In the name of Jesus, that today, Lord, we pray over this church, Lord. That, Lord, this church becomes more popular. That, Lord, we're not giving to get, Lord. We're giving so that wherever we go, we prosper, Lord. Yeah. That we're covered under your blood. Yes. Amen. That in that money that we give, that you bless it, Lord. That we, if we go on missions, Lord, it can bless other people around the world. Yeah. That we just want to bless this church, really. That we want more people coming. With more of the prosperity, we want to connect, Lord, by the connections. Hello, I just want to say thank you for helping us go through this week. Thank you for helping us go through our ups and downs. That, Lord, next week will be an even better week. We just believe in you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
One of the things that I was thinking about this week, normally I have a message by Tuesday, Wednesday, and this week it went to Thursday, and then I thought, Lord, this is Friday, and I really need something. The Holy Spirit is always very good at coming at the right time, and so I opened my Bible. I said, God, speak to me, and something that really touched my heart was, I've been speaking about our identity in Christ Jesus. I've done, I think, three, four sessions on our identity. If you have missed those sessions, I would urge you to go on our website. It's all there. You can have a listen to it. You can have a read through it as well and be blessed by it. And so one of the things that came to me was we talk about being in Christ. Being in Christ. And the thought that came to me was this. What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it actually mean? We say we are in Christ. What does it actually mean to us? The second question that came to my mind was, okay, what does it mean to be in Christ? But also, what are the benefits of being in Christ? Because there must be some benefits, shouldn't there, of being in Christ? So I thought, what are the benefits? And then a third question came to me as well. And I thought, why is it important to be in Christ? Why is it important? Now you're looking back and saying, I'm glad you asked those questions. How many thought the same? How many of you thought of that? What does it mean to be in Christ? Anyone here? Or just, saying, oh, I'm in Christ. It's okay. It's fine. So here we go then. I'm going to give you some points this morning. And I hope it'll bless you. Because I believe that once we realize and understand what it truly means to be in Christ, it enables us to walk this journey we have, that to walk every day with Jesus more meaningful, and it helps us to walk with more confidence and faith, believing in whom we believe in. And the confidence gives us the ability to stand up for Jesus. And what I want to do here this morning, I want to encourage you so that wherever you are, there will be absolutely no doubt about who you are in Christ. And nobody can steal your joy or steal your confidence or say something that will weaken your confidence in who you are in Christ. Is that okay? So what does it mean to be in Christ? See, when you are in something, when you say you're in something, I'm in this building, and this building is surrounding me, correct? We are in this building, and this building is surrounding us. When we are in something, that something is surrounding us, correct? It's enveloping us. It's covering us. And when you are in your house, that gives you protection because you're in your house. You're not outside your house. It's very different being outside your house. Outside your house, you are vulnerable. Outside your house, things can happen, correct? Outside your house, there is fear. Outside your house, you are wondering who's going to come by, what's going to happen to me. But inside your house or inside your castle, there is security, there is protection, there is safety, and there is confidence, correct? Are you with me? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I think everyone knows this scripture. If you were born again by the Spirit of God, then you should know this scripture. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. It says, when anyone, say anyone, lives in Christ. Doesn't say anyone knows about Christ. It says anyone lives in Christ. The new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Look at the present tense in that sentence. The new is here. In Christ means living in Him. And when you are living in Christ, something changes. And the scripture is very clear. The old is gone and the new has come or is come. The old is gone. Something happens. Some change happens when you are in Christ. And I think this is a fundamental truth that you and I have to understand, and many fail to understand the real meaning of being in Christ. Being in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. In other words, your old nature, your old habits, old ways, which were sinful, which are full of lust and pride, has gone. And a new creation has come. Something new has happened in you. Anyone, I believe, who call themselves to be in Christ or who call themselves Christians cannot live the sinful old life. The sinful nature. Why? Because it says the old is gone. And the new has come. So in Christ, and I think I have it up there. Oh yeah, it's there. Oh look, it's good. In Christ equals a new creation. And that means a new nature. It means new habits. It means new behaviors. It means new lifestyle. It means new actions. It means your vocabulary changes. It means what you do changes. It means your whole life reflects the lifestyle of Jesus. And so we got to understand that being in Christ entails all of these things. Anyone in Christ cannot be doing the same old, sinful or lustful or self-oriented or focused things as before. Because that tells me they are not in Christ. Because if you're in Christ, there has to be a transformation that happens that causes you to work out your salvation, and the working out of your salvation is seen by the way you behave, the way you act, the way you speak, what you do. It's all in that, correct? It's not a Christianity behind closed doors. It's a Christianity that is open for everyone to see. It's like your life becomes an open book. People see who you are and what you stand for. Christ's death and resurrection for us And our identification with him by faith helps us to live a life that is possible through Jesus. This new creation life is only possible by identifying with Christ's death and resurrection. There has to be an identification of Christ's death and resurrection. Now, here's the thing. Jesus died for everybody, correct? But not everybody is saved, correct? Only those who have identified themselves with the death and the burial of Jesus Christ and his resurrection have been born again, correct? Have had new life. Not everybody, only those who were willing to identify with Jesus. There has to be an identity we have in Jesus that enables us to walk this journey with him. And so when we are in Christ, it tells me that I have identified myself with Christ's death. He died on the cross for me. He took my sin upon himself. He was buried once and for all, and then he rose again triumphantly, conquering sin, conquering death, and all the power of the evil one. That's who I am in Christ. That is my identity, and that should be our identity when we are in Christ Jesus. Can you see that? The King James Version says, in Christ we are new creations. And I looked up the word creation, and it says this. The creation means this, the action or process of bringing something into existence. The action or process of bringing something into existence. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I don't think I have that scripture up there. But I'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. And you read there, when you talk about this word creation, of bringing something into existence, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us who we were before Christ. Let's have a look. It says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. He says, you have been made alive who were dead. You were created, you were dead. God made you alive. Can you see that? That's why you and I are new creations in Christ Jesus, because we were dead in our sin. And in Jesus, we came alive. Amen? When we talk of creation, what do we talk of? It means this. It means design. It means formation. It means forming. It means modeling. It means putting together, setting up, making, building. All that, all those things explain creation. And when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that is exactly what happens. You are a new creation. God puts a new design, his design, into you. If you read Psalm 139, you will see how God is so intimately connected with us. We are a new formation. We are a new model. Hallelujah. The old is gone. The new has come. That's what happens in a new creation. Someone who has been put together, someone who has been set up and built into what God has called you to be. That's who you are in Christ. Can you see that? God does this. You know why? Simply because he loves you. Simply because he loves you. Not because we earned it. Not because of our merits. Not because of our good looks. Not because of our standing in society. He just did it because he loved us so much that he decided to do something about our future with no strings attached. God's love, God's plan of salvation was given free. And it comes by identification with what he did on the cross of Calvary. That freedom is still there. No strings attached. Except just to love Jesus for who he really is. And so today I wanted to catch the true identity of being that new creation in Christ. In that new creation, there is no room for anything else of the old self to exist. They don't coexist. The old is gone. The new has come. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 26. Sorry, not Genesis, Galatians chapter 3. What does it mean to be in Christ? Galatians 3, 26 to 28. It says there, "For now we are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and we who have been baptized into union with Christ are enveloped by him. We are no longer Jews, nor Greek, nor slaves, or free, or men, or even merely men or women, but we are all the same. We are Christians. We are one in Christ." Is that an amazing scripture? First of all, God declares us that we are his children. As we sang today, I am a child of God. I am a daughter of the Most High God. By believing in Christ, you become a child of God. What's the second thing? It says you have been baptized into Christ. In other words, you have identified yourself with his death. That's what baptism means. When we baptize people, and that's something I forgot to mention earlier, we want to baptize people soon. So if you haven't obeyed the Lord in the waters of baptism, this is the believer's baptism. It doesn't make you a Christian. It is already for people who have believed in Jesus. And the next step of their confession of their faith is saying, right, I want to take the next step. I want to tell the world, hey, I belong to Jesus. And I'm proud of it. And I want to be baptized because why? Jesus was baptized. And you know what happened when Jesus was baptized? The heavens opened. Hallelujah. Something happened when Jesus was baptized. And I believe when we baptize someone, something happens. The heavens open. The heavens rejoice. When heaven sees one person standing up and saying, hey, I am for Jesus. I'm not afraid to stand up in public and say, I belong to Jesus. It's that identification with his death and resurrection. So it says you have been baptized into Christ and have clothed yourselves with Christ. Here's the third one. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free. There is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't this amazing? There is no barrier. There is nothing, no caste or creed or high society or low society, not in Christ. We are one in Christ Jesus. Wherever you go in the world, you are one in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the identity all over the world in every human being is the same identity. It's the blood of Jesus. That's it. There is no other identity except the blood of Jesus. And so there is a commonality amongst every believer. That is the blood of Jesus and nothing else. That is why we can be one in Christ. There is no racism in Christianity. There is no racism in culture or cultural differences. Why? The Bible tells us we are one in Christ. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 tells us this. Beautiful scripture. Your old self, say old self, has died. Your old self has died, and your new life is kept or hidden with Christ in God. Where is your new life? In Christ, in God. Now there is no better secure place than being in Christ, in God. I mean, come on. You know, you can be in your house and somebody can bomb it. Can't say bomb these days, can you? But somebody can bomb it, but when you're in Christ who is in God, wow, what a place to be. Can anyone touch you when you're in Christ, in God? Can the devil touch you when you're in Christ, in God? I know we sometimes say, you know, the devil is hassling me or the devil is after me. He ain't after you. He can't touch you. When you are in Christ, in God, the enemy cannot touch you. I think it's just a lie of the enemy that he thinks he wants to make you feel that he's after you. When you realize who you are in Christ, you can tell the enemy, get out. I know who I am. You can't touch me because I'm hid in Christ in God. That's where I'm hiding. That's where God has hidden me, in Christ. I'm hidden in the blood of Jesus. You know how powerful the blood of Jesus is? Wow. Demons tremble when we mention the name Jesus. Did you know that? They're subject to the name of Jesus. Every demon in hell, every demonic spirit is subject to the name of Jesus. They will only respond to the name of Jesus. You can use every other name, nothing happens. But the moment you say in the name of Jesus, the demons listen. Oh, that's a powerful name. That's a powerful name. I got to listen up because of the name of Jesus. That's how powerful the name of Jesus is. To be in Christ means that we have accepted his sacrifice as payment for our own sin. We have accepted his sacrifice as our payment for our sin. And what does this mean? When we accept his sacrifice on our behalf, you know what happens? Jesus switches accounts with us. He switches accounts with us when we accept his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. He exchanges our lists of sin for his perfect account. And you know what? That is absolutely pleasing to God. And that's why in 2 Corinthians 5:21 it says, he who knew no sin, he didn't know sin, Jesus, was made sin for us so that you and I can be the righteousness of God in Christ. So that you and I have that exchange. My sin, exchange for his righteousness. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, where else do you get such an exchange? Nowhere, no religion can offer you anyone that exchange, but only Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, you can say hallelujah to that. If there's one thing that stands out with Jesus is he made the exchange for us. And he took upon himself our pain, our suffering. When you are in Christ, you enter the presence of the Holy God. We must be hidden in the righteousness of Christ to enter the presence of a holy God. Correct? Sin and righteousness don't mix. How do we approach God who is holy? Through Jesus, who exchanged our place and put his place, his righteousness in us. Can you see how we connect with the Father through Jesus? To be in Christ means that God no longer sees us, sees our imperfections. He sees the righteousness of his own Son in us. Hallelujah. Is that good? Ephesians 2 and 13. Is it up there? Yes. But now you belong, tell your neighbor, that's you. You belong to Christ Jesus. And though you once were far away from God, now you have been brought near by what? To him. By very near to him because of what Christ Jesus has done for you with his blood. Hallelujah. God has already done it. He's already paid for it. It's already there. All you have to do is say, thank you, Jesus. I receive what you have done for me. Here's the second one. So what are the benefits of being in Christ? Now, there are many. And if I stood here and gave you all the benefits, you'll be here for a long time. But I'll focus on a few. What is the first thing that happened? Jesus, what are the benefits of being in Christ? Jesus becomes your friend for life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? Jesus becomes your friend for life. He's somebody that we can talk to at any time of day. We can talk to Jesus about anything at all. How many have talked to Jesus about anything at all? How many have talked to Jesus about the things you wouldn't want to talk to anyone else about? He's always there, through thick, through thin. I loved Abria's prayer. Isn't it? She was so good. That was so sincere, coming out of her heart. Through the ups and the downs, we thank you, Jesus, for the ups and the downs. I love that. Often we want the ups, but you don't like the downs. But we mature and grow and our character is built in the downs. Because that's where we learn to stand. He's always there through thick and thin, and he's always able to help us. Always able to help us. When the police cannot help us, when the governments cannot help us, when nobody else can help us, Jesus can help us. Jesus is somebody to whom we can say, help me, Father. Help me, Jesus. I'm struggling. David prayed like that many times. You and I, when we are struggling, we don't have to brush it off and say, oh, I'm a Christian. I shouldn't struggle. God never promised a life of no struggle. But he said, I will be with you through the struggle. We can call upon him and say, help me, Jesus. I'm struggling. God, I'm sinning. I find this habit hard to shift. Jesus, help me. I find myself, like Paul said, I want to do what is right, but yet I'm driven to do what is wrong. Although in my mind I want to do what is right. And sometimes we can be in that place. We know we want to do what is right, but sometimes we can be moved to do the wrong things. But who can help us through that process? Jesus can. Through the Holy Spirit of God. And when you say, Lord, help me, I do not know what to do. You know what Jesus says back to us? I know. I've been tempted there too. But I got the victory over that. Hallelujah. And let me show you how you can gain victory over that situation. See, Jesus was tempted in all points as we are. Correct? That's what the Bible says. Am I right? In all points. So that's why Jesus can say, I know what you're going through. And I have a solution for you. Hallelujah. Isn't that comforting? To know that we are not alone trying to battle through this life. But God can help us. Jesus, let me give you strength. Here's the other one that the other benefit that we have from being in Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit as a help and companion in our lives. We receive the Holy Spirit. Where does he live? In me, in you. That's where he lives. We receive him. He will guide you, the Bible tells us, in John 16 and verse 13. The Holy Spirit will guide you into what? All truth. Say all truth. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He will guide you into all truth. You want to know truth? Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Because that's what he will do. He will never guide you into things that are of unrighteousness and unholiness. Spirit of God never guides you into things like that. Also, the Bible tells us the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For when we do not know how to pray, the Holy Spirit prays for us. He intercedes on our behalf with groanings that cannot be uttered. That's who the Holy Spirit is. When we do not know how or what we should pray for, he prays. He intercedes. Romans 8:26. Is that scripture there? It is. It is? Oh no, I haven't put it up, but make a note of that scripture. That's what it means. Romans 8:26. You and I will receive victory over sin and all the things that make us miserable. That's the next one. What do we receive? Victory. When, what are the benefits of being in Christ? We have the victory in the name of Jesus by being in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And all the miserable stuff has to go because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs, has been taken over by Jesus. Everything has to go. The benefits of Jesus have paid it all by paying it all on the cross of Calvary. You receive victory over sin and all the things that make you miserable. Therefore, we can be free. Hallelujah. We can be free this morning. We can be free from all the stuff that tries to weigh us down. How many know things weigh us down every day in our lives? But we can be free of it when we know who Jesus really is. See, many times we go through life not being satisfied. And the human nature is, I want more. You get something and then you say, I want some more. Correct? We are all in that place. I want some more. I never have enough. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 28, all things work together for good. For to whom? To them who have been called according to his purpose, who love God and who are called according to his purpose. When you have victory over sin, you find joy. And all the emptiness leaves. Because when your life, I'm not talking about happiness. People talk about happiness. Happiness is temporary. You can be happy at one given moment and totally unhappy just a minute, few minutes after. But joy is something deeper than just happiness. When you have joy, when things around you don't go well, your joy that you have in Christ keeps you going. It's not about looking at happiness or being unhappy. It's about knowing who you are in Christ. And when you are in Christ, you have joy. And joy keeps you going. All things work together for good. And whenever I go through times where I think, God, why is this happening to me? I always remind myself, God, I know your word says, all things work together for good. I may not see it at this point. To me, it does not seem good. How many have been there? It doesn't seem good, all right, at this point. But something that we got to believe and trust God is, he made us in his image and in his likeness. He made us. He identified himself with us. That's why Jesus came. He became human. He took on human form. He was God. He left everything of his glory, everything that pertained to him. He left it all. He became a slave. Philippians chapter 2 and 6 tells us that. And he died a cruel death on the cross of Calvary. Why? For you and for me. So that you and I can have victory over sin, over death, and the power of the enemy. When we have joy in us, victory comes. Victory, I would say, equals joy. When you have victory in your life, you are a joyful person. And God gives you that joy. And here's my last scripture in that section. And it says in John 11:25-26, it says here, I am the resurrection. Jesus talks about himself and says, I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. Although we may physically die, when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, we have life eternal. Life doesn't end. It goes on with Jesus. And whoever, says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Doesn't classify a particular group of people. It says, whoever believes and lives in me shall never die. Now, that's an all-inclusive Christ, correct? That's an all-inclusive God. And if anyone, whoever believes or lives in him, shall never die. Here's the third one. So we covered what is it, what does it mean to be in Christ? What are the benefits of being in Christ? Here's the third one. Why is it important to be in Christ? Here's the first thing. The Bible tells us that we will bear much fruit. In other words, our lives will show the purposes for which God has put us here on this earth. And oftentimes it's sad that many people live for themselves, but God has much more for us. And we are here not to be loners, but we are here to build relationships with one another and bless one another. It says, you will bear much fruit because without Christ, you can do nothing. And so that's why I need Christ. That is why it's important for me to be in Christ, because I know in Christ I can fulfill everything God has planned for me. I can fulfill it. Now, it may not take in my time frame or my thinking, because God's ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts or ways our ways, but I know that when my life is in Christ, that I know that God will lead me into those places where he wants me to be. And even though I go through hard times, difficult times, perilous times, the Bible tells me that God is with me. And when we have that assurance, I tell you, we can walk into any scenario, any situation with confidence, knowing God is with us. He is with me. You bear much fruit. John 15 and verse 5 tells us that without him, you cannot do anything. Here's this other one. You will have fulfillment in life. People are looking for fulfillment in life. That's why people are searching today. And they're searching in different places. And sadly, sometimes people find the wrong places for fulfillment in life, because there's an emptiness, there's a yearning, there's a longing, there's a desire for something better, for something good. There's a void in people's lives. And that's why the reason I spoke about our identity in Christ is because there is an identity gap in many people today. They don't know who they are because of how society has shaped and molded people. Because they have shaped and molded people based on fashion and things superficial. And they say, you've got to be like this, then you become accepted. You got to do these things, then you become accepted. But when your identity is in Christ, it says, whoever believes in him, doesn't belong to a high society. It doesn't belong, to the Jews only. It belongs to everybody who believes in Jesus. Isn't that inclusive? I believe that is inclusive. That involves everyone having that opportunity to have a fulfilled life. And I believe people do want fulfillment in their lives. You have peace. How many want peace? We all will raise our hands. Yes, I want peace in my life. People, the nations are struggling to achieve peace. But Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and I am the Prince of Peace. And until we come to the Prince of Peace, peace can never be found. The only way that we have peace is by identifying with what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, because that makes us one in Christ. And we can live a life in peace when we know that we are one in Christ, because there is no other form. There is nothing else that can separate us from the love of Jesus. Nothing can separate us from Him. Your joy will be full, and your life will be overflowing with good riches and favor, and with the beauty of Jesus. You can ask God for whatever you desire. You can ask Him, and God will bless you. God is not a God who withholds anything that is good for us. Sometimes we ask, but we ask amiss. God will not give us something that's going to harm us, because He loves us like a dad, like a parent to the child. No parent will give their child something that's going to harm them, correct? If a child asks for something that is not appropriate for their age, as a parent, we won't give it, would we? We wouldn't, because we know this is not the right time for this, my child, to have this. It's not that we want to deliberately hold back, but we know that this is not the right time. I believe God is the same in our lives, that we ask by faith, and God says, well, actually, it's not the right time for you. It's not the season for you. At the right time, I will bring it across your path. I will give it to you. I'm not going to withhold anything that is good for you. But for now, you have my peace. For now, you have my grace. For now, you have my mercy. For now, you have the strength to endure what you're called to do. And I believe that when we understand that, and when we see the victory of Jesus in our lives, we see the victory of Jesus that has conquered Satan, that has conquered every demonic power, that has conquered every demonic foe, and we know the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. We have eternal life. We have abundant life. We have a fulfilled life. Why? Because nothing of the enemy can touch us or hurt us or can put us down, because we know who we are in Christ Jesus. Let's stand this morning. I want us to get this in our spirit today, that when we have the name of Jesus and when we know who Jesus is in our lives, nothing and nobody and no demon and nothing of the enemy can touch us or hurt us. Nothing of the enemy can dictate to us. He might try, but he cannot touch you. Why? Because your life is hidden with Christ in God. Yeah, there's something, there's somebody that's greater who is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you. And we got to exercise the greatness of God in our lives. Because God has only us. He's got you. He's got you to bring that message of love, to bring that message of joy, to bring that message that people are looking for today. And he's got you. And all he wants to do is, he wants you to share his love with people. Not to indoctrinate them, no. It's just to share his love with people and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. He has a plan for your life. He's got purpose. He's got meaning. You have a great future. You have a great destiny. You don't have to be afraid of walking this life every day. You don't have to walk in fear, because Christ has taken care of fear. He's taken care of everything. He's paid the price with his blood. He's done the exchange for you. All you have to do is say, Jesus, I accept you into my life. I receive all the blessing and all the benefits of Calvary into my life. And if you're here this morning and you're in a place where you are unsure of who you are in Christ, or you're unsure of who you are as a person, maybe God is just speaking to your life and he's saying, look, son, daughter, I've done everything for you, and all I want you to do is acknowledge who I am. And all we have to do this morning is say, Jesus, I want to live this life with you. I'm tired of living it all by myself. I want you, Jesus. And it's a very simple prayer. prayer, nothing complicated. Jesus did not say you got to go 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 miles to this particular place or that particular place, or you know, you got to give so much money to this place, or you know, you got to go through an act of penance. And Jesus didn't say that. He says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible tells us that we are saved from what? From sin, the power of sin and death over our lives. There is salvation in Christ Jesus, and it comes through a simple acknowledgement of who Jesus is. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that so easy? All we have to do is say, Jesus, I've heard much about you, but Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you like a father knows his child, like a child knows his father. I want to know you, Daddy, because I know you love me. And in this quiet moment, maybe someone here is just saying, Jesus, I want to try you. The Bible tells us, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. Until we taste, we will not see. If there are two white compounds put in front of you, and I tell you one is salt and one is sugar, you'll never know which is salt and which is sugar until you've had a taste. I think Jesus is the same. Jesus is there for everyone. But the moment we taste the love of Jesus, the Bible tells us that we become new creations in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. Father, I pray this day, Lord, that even as we are here, Lord, we don't understand everything. We will never understand everything. But the one thing we know is why you came. The one thing we know is why you loved us so much, and why you had to die on the cross for us, and why you had to shed your blood for us. And Lord, this morning we receive that finished work on the cross of Calvary, that exchange that you made for us, where you took my sin, and in place of my sin, you put your righteousness. You justified me just as if I have never sinned. That's what it means. Just as if I never sinned. Lord, you did that exchange for me. And today, Lord, I receive it. And I thank you for those, Lord, who have received the gift of salvation. Pray, God, that you will strengthen your people this morning. That as we face this week, that we will face it knowing that Christ, you are in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just pray, and I'll just pray now and pray, speak a blessing over you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. And may the Lord give you his peace. Amen and amen. Let's go out with a song of praise.
Should we stand? Let's put our hands together. Let's sing When Night Has Fallen. Come on.
When night has fallen, when fear is coming, still you're calling me.
Me. You won't give up on me.